This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malola Lay and welcome to our Tongan listeners, and of course, welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the go-to spot to get your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby in your worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and is my Cook Island Coey, Tinirao Arona T. How's the weekend, mate?
Kia ora, mate. My weekend was fun. In the sun, it was good. It was nice. We watched a bit of footy as well. Fair bit of footy that happened over the weekend with the Pacific Championships. Also, the Tor Samoa team over in the UK. It was a very enjoyable weekend. Yeah, how was yours?
You look very tanned. You look happy. You look like the weight is off your shoulders getting into that Christmas period. But my weekend was great as well. Kids Oztag got called off, so I had the Sunday to myself, so I was happy about that.
Treat yourself or just chill?
Yeah, sent the kids to their grandparents' house so they could go in the pool, and I just sat and had some popcorn as my little treat and just watched a bit of footy.
Maltesers in the popcorn?
I didn't have that on me, but if it was, it 100% would have been in there, but it was a great weekend.
Huge show today. We will be covering the Pacific Championships, both the men's and the women's. We will have Shelley Long here, who will cover the women's. She actually travelled to Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby, to spend some time in the PNG Orchids camp. So we'll look forward to having a chat with her. But on today's show, one of the interviews we got over in Fiji, Suva, was Christian Pior. Now, she plays for the Fetu Samoa. Her father passed away last year, and she made her debut representing her nation, and we got to sit down, have a really good chat. She's also from my high school. It was about 20 years difference. And there's like this big sports award each year they give out, and then your name goes on this big board in the office. My name was on there in 2005. And I think hers was on there in like 2017, I think. So about 12 years difference.
Yeah,
so
something like that. She actually thought you were a little bit older, because she's like, no way, because your salt and pepper hair. She thought it had to be at least 35 years between. But it was a great chat. And we also get to hear, because she ghosted your first message, didn't she?
Yeah,
To get her on the show.
It was over a year ago.
Yeah.
And I opened up our interview asking her, you know, what happened to the call out when we had to travel to Suva to get her on our show. So a big chat with Christian Pior. And while we're on that topic, just wanted to send a big congratulations to the Fetu Samoa, who qualify for the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, outstanding work. We'll talk more of that with Shelley Long on The Long Story Short, but let's rip into the rest of the show.
Moment of the week.
Mate, this guy that we had a good chat with in Suva, Lockie Lamb. So he plays the Cook Islands in Port Moresby last weekend, and his father is a legend, another PNG captain, ex-captain, a legend of the Papua New Guinea Rugby League. He flew all the way from the UK to Port Moresby, and he presented his son with his PNG Kumuls jersey ahead of the Cook Island game. So that's my moment. They are the second father-son captains ever. So when we spoke to Lockie and Suva, he mentioned if they make the final, he will be equaling his father's record for the amount of PNG Cornwall games. So this weekend, after they beat the Cook Islands last weekend, Lockie will now equal his father Adrian Lamb's PNG record.
Hey, it's Lockie Lamb, and I'm listening to Neesian Footy.
You'll be able to hear that chat with Lockie Lamb next week. And before we get to the Pac Champs, we're going to start with the game that was played over in England. Tor Samoa took on England in their second test match, T.
Yes, you were listening, Sammy, paying attention. I like it. Yes, Tor Samoa, their second test match in England. Unfortunately, they lost 34-18. But, you know, a number of players are missing from this Tor Samoa team. You've got Stephen Crichton, Junior Bolo, Brian To'o, Josh Papali'i. You know, those players that really set the way in that last World Cup final. But I do want to mention their skipper of this campaign, Jerome Luai. You know, he's really led from the front, set a good example for the young players in the Tor Samoa team. But he had two try assists in this game. Now, both off his boot. The first one was a little chip kick for Sean Blore, the left back rower. And then the second try assist was a little grubber for the right back rower, Jeremiah Nanai. Now, with all these stars outside of the Tor Samoa team, gives opportunities for younger players like Jake Tungal. Now, he made his NRL debut this year for Parramatta Eels. He's also the brother of Isaac Tungal. He makes his Samoan debut and scores on his international debut against England, wearing the blue jersey. So congratulations to Jake Tungal. Now, off to the Pack Champs. I'm going to start with the biggest game of the weekend.
The cookies.
The cookies.
The cookies and PNG. I knew this is where, I knew that's where it was going. But the off-field champs, I reckon they are.
Oh, they can vibe, and they were vibing still after they lost this game in the sheds, 42-20 to Papua New Guinea.
Do you know what? When I looked at Brad Takarangi's Instagram after the game, I thought they won. Like, because I didn't get to see the game, but I thought they won, and then I saw the scores. Oh, they're just celebrating, the boys. How good?
Yeah, nah, they they know had a good time, but it's always going to be hard when you travel to Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby, to play the Kumuls. And, you know, they lost this game. Cook Islands losing, PNG winning. PNG scoring 8 tries to the Cook Islands, 3. Now, that means PNG win the Pacific Championships Bowl. Last week, I mentioned the whole forward pack. So, some key matchups, the whole forward pack versus Nene McDonald. Mate, Nene scored 2 tries, on had a try again. Assist. Yep. This first try, he runs over 4 Cook Island defenders to put the ball down, and just think he's, you know, in some real good form. So, and sorry, his second try, 50 meters out, gets into dummy half, skips across field, creates an overlap, and then supports on the inside, receives the ball, and then scores a try untouched.
McDonald goes from dummy half, runs right to left, and then got a beautiful ball away. Now it links up, Roderick Tye away to Roltinger, over the 20, back in field, it comes to Nene McDonald. He runs around in circles, he's lucky he didn't get dizzy and fall over. But Nene McDonald is over for his second try. The Kumul 7, and the crowd are on their feet, because they know the Kumuls are heading for an absolute thrashing over the Cook Islands. It's now 38-14, the try to Nene McDonald.
Another standout player for me in this game was the man of the moment, Lachlan Lamb. He had 3 try assists, you know, a couple nice cutout passes to both wingers for setting them up for tries. But then for his try, 35 metres out, puts a big left foot step, one-on-one with the fullback, gooseys around him, and then runs around to score a try for the Kumuls.
4 tackles done, and even with 12 men, the Kumuls look like they're getting on top here. Lamb takes on the defence, beats some paper-thin stuff. Oh, easily gets past Isan Masters. He's over to score. The Kumuls captain in front of his dad. He's over to score. It's 14-all. They'll be in front, surely, the Kumuls. Cook Islands have stopped playing, and PNG's lifted, even with 12 men.
So with that win, they now take on New Zealand. Out of all teams, New Zealand in the Pacific Championships promotion and relegation match. I've saved the best one for last, Sammy. Your beloved Tongan game versus the Kiwis.
Tease up. They'll be going off. I've seen the celebrations. They're gonna if Tonga win this game, I'm telling you now, they're gonna have a week off work here in Sydney,
we'll
all around
parades,
the world. Parades galore.
Every day of the week. But Tonga versus New Zealand in Auckland. I look, when they show footage of the crowd, the majority of the crowd's red.
The red flag.
The New Zealand Red Sea.
Yep.
And I think, you know, when you're watching the haka and then the sipitau, you could just sense that, you know, Tonga was ready to ambush the Kiwis. You know, when the Kiwis done their haka, the eyes of big Haumole Olakau'atu, mate, the look that he had, the staunch look, I was like, yep.
His head was forward, and like his jaw was just ready to go, as if he was going to charge at them there
holding
and then.
Holding the suitcases.
Yeah, ready to go.
But so Tonga received the kickoff. Now, for the first 5 minutes, Kiwis don't get to touch the ball. In the first 32 minutes, Tonga scored the first 4 tries. Now, I just thought that the way that they were carrying the ball, building pressure, you know, making half breaks, quick play the balls, you know, 2 players that stood out and really led the way from the front, Adam Fanua-Blake and Jason Taumalolo. Some crazy numbers. Adam Fanua-Blake had 17 carries, 214 metres, 6 tackle breaks, and 1 try where, off a bit of shape, dummy goat scores underneath the post.
Comes right to Adam Fanua-Blake. Right foot step through Thompson. Through Tarpany. Kenny, no chance. He's over Adam Fanua-Blake. He just crashes through. That was Adam Fanua-Blake at his devastating best. What about this? It's Tonga 12, New Zealand 0.
Tries to Sione Katoa, Saliva Havili, and also Sone Luke. But then the Kiwis start making their comeback. Tries to Samoan Kiwis Isaiah Papali'i and Keanu Kinney. With 10 minutes to go, it's 24-all. Your cousin, the Iceman Isaiah Katoa, 13 metres out, 5 minutes to go, puts it on the boot, kicks the field goal to win the match. I heard that you taught him that drop kick.
Oh, look, he obviously has got the skills there. But when we did get him on that Pacific Sports Show back when he was still in school at Barker College, you know, he just finished off at the end to cut the footage and say, this is how we'll finish it. We practiced that scenario. Oh, here's a field goal to win it for Tonga. And then I passed him the ball and he slots it. And straight away, I just thought of that image. But because 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago, at this time, he's doing his HSC, his school, finishing year 12 and all of his exams. And now he's just kicked that field goal, like a Stephen Crichton moment, to put his team in the grand final, which was outstanding work.
What's the tactic? 5 minutes left, locked at 24. Havili goes deep. Isaiah Katoa from 30 metres out. He drills the kick, and he's kicked the goal, Isaiah Katoa. What a kick. And Tonga is back in front. The young blokes nailed it. 4 minutes 45 still to go. Tonga 25, New Zealand 24.
So with just under 5 minutes to go, the Kiwis aren't done yet. They still get a few attempts. First one, Jermaine Sucker misses a penalty goal kick. And then Sean Johnson, he gets a field goal, gets charged down. Jermaine Sucker regathers the ball, goes for the field goal and misses the post. And then Tonga hold on to win the game. The second time they've ever beat New Zealand. And they go on to the PAC Champs Pacific Championships Cup final this weekend against the Kangaroos.
It's going to be a blockbuster game. It's going to be a packed house. I've already got family members, just assuming I've got tickets just because we work in the Pacific space. Hey, do you have tickets? I heard you got tickets. I was like, where did you hear that from? But see, just in terms of their performance, and we've seen this a lot of times when teams play their grand final, you know, the week before the grand final, because a lot of emotion has gone into it. It's taxing. The other teams had the week off. How do you prepare? If you were in Tonga shoes, how would you prepare for this game so it doesn't feel like they've already played that grand final?
I think the big thing for me that I noticed, the difference between when Tonga played Australia and Tonga played New Zealand, was the passion at that start of the game, that fierce look. So it might have been that loss to the Kangaroos that sort of kicked them into gear and said, you know, we're going over to New Zealand's land and we're going to snatch this win. And you could just sense that they were on, you know, right from the start. And I think if they can take that same, you know, intensity, that same attitude, that same, you know, passion this coming Sunday, you know, there might be a big upset in that Pacific Championships Cup final. So remember, you can hear all the Pacific Championships finals live on ABC Radio Australia. A lot of footy. It just feels like it doesn't stop, Sammy.
No, it doesn't. Not in the rugby league world. And I can't wait for Tonga this weekend. As I said, the people will get behind their team, and some of the celebrations that I saw after it were just amazing. Funny scenes as well. When I saw the old men flip the carver bowl over on socials and all the carver just came out and they're flipping tables, I was like, oh, that's next level stuff. But that's how much it means to the Tongan people when their team gets on top. But we will head over to Rugby Union, and we saw Fiji play against Scotland. This game was played over in Scotland in front of about 50,000 Scottish fans, but there were some Fijian fans in the crowd waving their flag. And this was Fiji's first of 4 test matches on their Northern Hemisphere tour. Scotland, look, they dominated that game. They end up winning 57-17.
57-17.
57-17 in that game. And
I didn't know Scotland was that good.
Well, they are. They're a tier one nation. I reckon they play above their weight all the time when they come up against, I guess, the other heavyweights in the Northern Hemisphere. But it was awesome to see Sione Tuipulotu lead his team out for the first time, the captain of Scotland. His family were in the crowd for the very first time watching him play over there. So huge moment for their family. But I think going into the game as well, there was a genuine feeling of confidence coming off the back of a successful Pacific Nations Cup for Fiji. I think getting over to Scotland earlier to help with their jet lag and their preparation. We heard Mick Byrne talk about that last week, saying the extra few days will help with their preparation. And there was a lot of talk about their cohesion because there was a lot of draw players in that team. So a lot of boys would have played village footy together and Super Rugby together. So there was definitely some genuine confidence going into it. But when you actually look at the team, there was actually a lot of inexperience. On average, each player, there was only 11 test matches for each player on average. That's not a lot compared to Scotland. They had about 30 test matches per player on average.
Did you do the maths on that?
I listened to the commentator and he said that, so I just wrote that down. That's a great stat. But it definitely showed in the opening 25 minutes because they found themselves in a big hole, under pressure, on the back foot. Their most experienced player, Frank Lomani, he gets yellow carded 4 minutes in for going for an intercept. So he's in the bin. They gave another 4 penalties away in that 7-minute period. Then we saw Api Salome Vota get a yellow card after 14 minutes. So in the space of 25 minutes, they've had 2 yellow cards, about 8 penalties, and they were just in that washing machine, T. I've heard you talk about that washing machine plenty of times. It was like they just couldn't catch a break at all in any of those moments.
Sounds like Scotland were relentless.
They were relentless with their pressure, and they did not let off. And that's why they were up 26-0 after 25 minutes. Like, even the way that they played, they took quick lineouts, so caught Fiji napping off a penalty as well. When Scotland received a penalty, I just saw the winger just dart to the other side. Fiji was sort of just looking at each other, trying to find their breath, because after back-to-back penalties, cross-field kick, Scotland scoring the corner, and they just found themselves in a big hole.
Off a penalty, tap, cross-field kick, yeah, to the winger.
To the winger and scored. So they're little things that about being prepared, you know, when you're at that level, 50,000 people, all the small things at test match footy needs to be on song, because you can go from village footy into Super Rugby into even test footy at Pacific Nations, like the Pacific Nations Cup. When you're coming up against a Tier 1 side, you've just got to be able to match that. But this weekend, they're going to have 11 players come back. So there'll be more experience coming into the team. But to
Who have they got this weekend?
They got Wales this weekend. And they get 11, because it's played outside of the test match window, because the UK competition is still going, the clubs don't have to release their players for their test match duties unless it's inside a window.
This game was outside the window.
So
all the Fijians that play club footy, they can come and play.
Yeah, all the ones playing in France and England. So they should have a stronger team. But with all that being said, to Fiji's credit, when they did finally compose themselves in the patches that they did, they were able to find their rhythm and score some tries. Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula scored in the 33rd minute. Great feat and an offload from Logani Massi to put Ravula through. And we saw Dera Nalangi, he scored just before halftime, which brought them back into the game. And then Tevita Ikanevere, their hooker, scored a beautiful try off a set play from the line-out. So when they did get it right, they played well in patches, but they just need to be able to sustain that throughout the whole time. So in review, I think they will look at those patches and just say, if we can just cut out some of those penalties, cut out some of the mistakes, stay in the fight, because the points aren't just going to come easy, I reckon they'll be able to get the job done, or at least compete better come this weekend, T. But that's my rugby news. Sorry, I don't have about 12 games of rugby league to cover or rugby union, but I'm looking forward to them playing this week. I think Tonga plays this week too.
Well, we've actually got more rugby league news.
Why?
Because we'll be catching up with Shelley Long for the long story short to cover all things women's rugby league.
Why am I even here? Seriously.
Well, the ad break.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence, and she has just landed from PNG, currently at Brisbane Airport. Our PNG Orchid star and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, how was your experience with the PNG Orchids camp?
Oh, it was incredible. I absolutely love my time over there. I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of such an amazing group and experience another campaign with the girls, not as a player this time, but as a staff member. But either way, it was incredibly special.
Yeah, we've seen some of the socials flying around with all the beautiful pictures. What was it like just going to the villages and seeing the smiles again on the kids' faces?
Oh, it was, again, it's such a special moment when you go over there and you get to do things in the community. I think, you know, I've talked a lot about it, but if you can't see it, you can't be it. So it's, I think, when you're able to see someone do great things in rugby league or, you know, doing incredible things outside of that, if the kids can see that, then they know that they can do something similar if they want to.
And you're also travelling only a couple of weeks after ACL surgery. How did you manage it?
It was interesting. The leg definitely got a little bit swollen, but I was actually really grateful that the staff helped me out quite a lot. So I got treatment, I got the game ready, and I was very well looked after.
Oh, so you took up a treatment spot on tour and you weren't a player?
Yep, that's it, staff members, you know.
I hope you booked it outside of the player's window, but it's good to see or hear that you're getting looked after over there as well.
Yeah, it was great. I actually did laugh quite a bit because I was on the bed, the mattress, like the massage bed, and one of the players was on the table getting treatment while I was getting treatment on the bed.
And speaking of the game, I know it wasn't the result that the Orchids were looking for, but where did you watch this game?
I ended up watching it in my hotel room, unfortunately.
You didn't go to the game and watch it?
You travelled all that way to get treatment and not go to the game. Talk to us. What happened?
Unfortunately, I ended up in hospital over in PNG. It was very eye-opening, but very also sad at the same time. I was very sad that I couldn't attend the game, but I knew it was best for the girls to make sure that they were ready and that they couldn't catch anything, whatever it was that I had.
Well, I take that bit of humour back. I'm sorry to hear about that, Shelley. What actually ended up happening? How did you land in hospital?
So just as I got a massage and then not long after, I've come into the team room and I partially turned on. We had the game playing for Fetua Samoa and the Fiji Bulkula. But within like 5 minutes post-massage, I got the shivers. And then within about 20 minutes, I had extremely high fevers and the staff had to come into my room and try and cool me down with the shower. And then next minute, I was on my way to the hospital.
Oh, no. Did you spend much time in hospital?
I spent, I think I got in about maybe 7 and then I didn't get out. I didn't get back to the hotel until 12. But originally the doctor had said, you know, prepare to stay in PNG for a couple more days.
But you didn't. You managed to get out of there, get home safely. You're feeling better now?
Oh, I feel so much better. I think that the best thing for me was staying in the hotel where it was nice and cool. That definitely helped me a lot.
I'll be probably throwing that massage oil out. Hopefully there wasn't anything in that that got you sick. But
or who was on the bed before you? Because you know you have to share the face.
The hole in the massage table. there was obviously something there. But did you end up finding out, you know, what caused it?
No, we couldn't pinpoint what had happened because we, like, I had gone out to the market. I'd done quite a bit of, I'd gone out and seen some locals. And then we had also gone out to a creek and spent the day out there. So there were so many different times where I could have caught.
Don't drink the creek water.
Well, this is why. So Sammy laughs at me because I drink a lot of coconuts when we go on these Pacific tours. But I drink them to stay hydrated. And I reckon in the hospitals, you could have put some coconut water in the drip straight into the veins. Good to go.
That's not the go. You can't do
it
that.
It is, mate. I'm telling you, you can put coconut water in a drip and straight into the veins.
You should be in hospital for a lot longer
She should be flying. She would have been able to play.
Mate.
Anyway, let's get to the game. PNG Orchids to the Kiwis. What were your highlights?
My highlights were the improvements that the Orchids made throughout their campaign. I think coming off the back of a very big loss to the Gillaroos, they managed to fight pretty hard against the Kiwi Ferns. You know, yes, it was quite a substantial loss, but in the grand scheme of things, I actually don't think it was as big as it could have been. And I think in the end, the Orchids did show that they have quite a lot of growth, but that they've developed quite a bit in such a short period of time.
Sammy noticed that there was a bit of tropiness happening.
Yeah, was there a bit of niggle out there in the game? I just saw that, like, some of the girls were, like, clapping in the PNG girls' faces, a little bit of niggle in the ruck. Was it a bit...
A bit of confidence?
Yeah,
They didn't have that same energy when they played Australia.
They certainly didn't, see. But was that the feeling amongst the girls? Well, obviously, I know you're watching at the hotel, but is that what you felt there?
Oh, I did see it, but I think it comes to the nature of the game. You know, the Kiwi fans were on our home turf, and that is a very intimidating thing. And when the crowd is majority PNG people, you know, you got to do what you can to help build more confidence in your teammate. And sometimes it's getting a bit chirpy out on the field, but... You know, I think our girls took it well. There was definitely some times there where our girls tried their best to give it back. Unfortunately, it led to a penalty in the end.
Well, it was great to see the improvements from the week before. But, you know, we'll touch on Fetu Samoa shortly. They will be playing the Fetu Samoa in the promotion relegation game this weekend. You know, what improvements will the Orchids have to work on to, you know, be successful against the Fetu Samoa?
I think to be successful against Fetu Samoa, they just need to get a little bit more knowledge around the game rules, because that definitely impacted us in certain areas. Unfortunately, our debutante, our winger, Jenny, she caught the ball before it had actually touched the out of field,
yeah.
Which meant that New Zealand got the ball back. So just little things like that, just learning a little bit more of the rules, and then trying to get out of the penalty cycle will be a big thing for the Orchids.
Who was the Orchids' best player in your eyes?
I would have to say Elsie Albert.
Yes, the leader.
I thought she just led from the front for the Orchids. She took a lot of hard carries. She actually started doing the kickoffs towards the back end of the game because Emily Beavers had injured herself. So, and I mean, she was incredible. She ended up getting a dropout because they knocked it on, and several other things. So, you know, I think she was incredible for the Orchids.
Yeah, she's just like, pass me the rock. Come on, I've got this. Jump on my back, girls.
That's the one, eh?
Well, I'm looking forward to the matchup with Aneta Nuasala versus Elsie Albert this weekend. We've seen Fetu Samoa beat the Fiji Pulikula, which I thought was a lot closer than what most people expected. Nuasala scoring two tries for Fetu Samoa. They now qualify for the 2026 World Cup. Who stood out for you in this game?
Oh, for me, definitely, first of all, Aneta Nuasala. She was incredible for Fetu Samoa, and I think as the captain leading from the front, she was very strong for them. And, I mean, scoring two tries as well. And the last try to seal the deal for Fetu Samoa in their qualification for the Rugby League World Cup in 2026.
The 27 away, Lafebo goes right, Nuasala got through Holmes and Hardigan and Smythe, passes left away, Pavali'i to the 10, two-handed pass away, McEwen got away from Holmes, she straightens the 18-year-old, runs over another one, held up by Muller, she'll play it 2 metres out. Samoa's coming to get Fiji here. Lafipo turns it into Nuasala. She's over the line. Can she get it down, Nuasala? I'll tell you, she can. Try, the captain's over. Aneta Claudia Nuasala. Try to Samoa. 2 minutes 10 to go. Will that be enough? Samoa 14, Fiji 12.
Shelley, was there any other players that stood out to you in this Fetu Samoa versus Fiji Pulikula game?
Yes, there was three. One from Fetu Samoa was Eva McEwen. She had a incredible game, very powerful, very strong. She actually managed to palm off several players and then offload to Aneta Nuasala for her try to seal the deal. But outside of that, there was also Sienna Lang and Abigail Sekitoga. from Fiji Bulakula, who were incredible for them, especially Abigail. She took some incredible catches in the air. She was outstanding for them. She got a long distance try. So, you know, there's incredible players coming through the ranks of the Fiji Bulakula as well.
She'll play it on the last tackle of the half, 14 metres out. Samoa go right. Palea Rasabali to Paliti. Delayed pass to Masangi. Goes without it. Picked up now by Sekatonga. She's away over the 30, the 40, over halfway. She got the toe. Over the 30, over the 20. She says Mobe to the defence. Bye-bye. And she's over for a length of the field try after the drop ball by Serena Masangi. Abigail Sekatonga goes 90 metres on halftime to score. Fiji 10, Samoa 4.
Yeah, I think the Fiji Bulakula can definitely, you know, hold their heads high and be proud of their performance because it went right down to the wire. But yes, Nuasala just getting, you know, scoring that winning try for Samoa. Now, who's going to win this weekend? Final question, Samoa or PNG?
You know what? I've got to stay loyal. I'm going.
Absolutely, you do, Shelley.
That didn't sound confident. That's Give me a bit more energy.
And I think the girls will have improved quite a lot after versing New Zealand. Like I said, I think after the Australia game, they've improved tenfold. So I'm looking forward to them heading into their game this weekend against Fetua Samoa.
Yeah, hopefully the Samoan girls are still partying hard because they have qualified and a little bit shaky in their preparation come that game. But
I know Frank Pritchard, Cole Stanley, Jamie Sauer, probably still partying.
They are. They're leading the charge from the front. But hopefully we'll be seeing a good result this week. Plenty of footy to love on the weekend. And on that note, we appreciate your time and hopefully you're feeling better, Shelley.
Get some coconut water, Shelley.
Not in the veins, just in the mouth. You'll be ready to go. All right, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. My name's Pauline Pilia-Russenballe and I'm listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Sammy, another special guest here on Nation Footy, not because she's an international rugby league player and not because she plays NRLW, because she actually won the same high school award as me in 2015, and I won it in 2004.
What are you on about here?
Collinson High School Sports Achievement Award. That is why she is the special one. Christian Pior, welcome to Nation Footy.
Thank you.
Did you know that you shared the same honours as T on that very famous Collinson High School board there? Honours board?
Not really, until he actually messaged me and mentioned it. And I was like, oh, wow, how cool is that?
Well, there's a few common things here. So St. Clair Comets as well, junior club.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Blacktown.
Yep.
I was born in Blacktown Hospital as well. Wow. So just out Leila Park. And that's all I've got.
I want to start off with, I seen your boyfriend come on camp. Did you invite him or did he just make his way on the free holiday?
He just made his way. Nah, he's here for me to pretty much provide emotional support and pay for anything I need. So my wallet too.
Your wallet.
I like it. Emotional support. It's a big event for you tomorrow night. You know, you'll be playing your first Samoan international game. How much does it mean to you to represent your nation?
Oh, it means the most to me, like, especially with what happened last year, just not being able to debut last year when I was supposed to, with family stuff going on. This is it.
When you first got called up to represent Samoa, what was it like when you told your family that I'll be representing that blue jersey?
They were really excited. My mum and dad, they were really happy, and obviously they wanted to see me represent Gillaroos as well, but I think it's more so the money side, unfortunately, but seeing like Ivani Paliti just come on over is something exciting for us Samoans.
I want to come back to Fetua Samoa, but I want to start all the way back to Collerton High School. How did you get from Collerton High School to playing NRLW?
Oh, I just feel like I'm not really a structured person and all that stuff. I just went with the flow. Rugby league wasn't even in the picture at the moment. I just like playing a bit of everything, basketball, volleyball, you name it, at lunchtime. And then it started off with Tasha Gale. Yeah, oh, sorry, St. Clair Comets.
Yep.
I just jumped in for fun. It was with Fui, who's playing at the Titans, Maddie Ashby and all that stuff. And then I just had the coach. He got picked to coach Tasha Gale Penrith. And he chose me, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I must be all right, so I might as well just pursue it.
Also, rugby league was never in the plans, you know, growing up.
No, never.
What did you like about the sport, though?
I think just the friendships I built around, the relationships I built around it. I wouldn't see myself being the type to create friends. Well, not like so much create friends out of no one. Just, it was just easy for me to connect with people and have that relationship.
Well, you come from a club that produced legends like Stephen Crichton.
Joseph Paulo
Joseph
as well.
Paulo.
He's from there.
Zebby Taya.
Zebby Taya as well.
And you're...
Move on, your twin boys, that's it.
My twin boys and my twin boys. What was it like when you made your NRL debut? What was the reaction from your family?
Oh, they were so happy. But even so, my NRL debut came off the injury of someone else. So I wasn't originally selected in the squad. So I was at just Tigers, Harvey Norman training. And I think I really had a good year of training that year. Like, I was pretty sad that I didn't get selected, but it kind of motivated me to work towards it. And then that's when the opportunity came. I was like, wow, this came sooner than I thought. So I just grabbed it with both hands, and I feel like I had a really awesome debut year.
Well, that connection piece that you spoke about, it's instant mates straight away. And it's when you retire up at some point, you always think about the mates and memories that you create, not so much the wins and losses. When you join the Samoan camp, what's that connection like straight from the get-go when you meet the girls and you get into camp?
Yeah, it just hits different. Like, you know, playing for a team, playing for a club, you feel, you know, connected. But when you have people that are of your blood and, you know, have that knowledge of your ancestry, where you come from, it's a sigh of relief for me, being around my people, and just having that identity behind me it's like a fresh breath air.
A breath of fresh air.
Sorry, what do you call that?
I do that. We fresh out all the time. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh.
Last night I was honoured to be welcomed and present to the team in the meeting room, and I looked around the room and there was a lot of, you know, Samoan cultural items, and yeah, you were practicing the sivatau before I come in. How cool is it for you to come into a camp and, you know, connect with Samoan culture and have that right balance between rugby league and Samoa?
Yeah, it's so different when you have both your culture and league incorporated in one. At first, I didn't know how to take it, but it just feels like I'm at home, which is the best thing for me. Especially with having the girls around, and, you know, some of us aren't really strong on learning like the Samoan, the Fa Samoa way, but just seeing how everyone is jumping on board and wants to learn more about their culture is just, I really adore it.
Anything in particular that helps you connect closer to your culture through, you know, being in camp, whether it be learning the sivatau or some hymns? Is there something that stands out for yourself?
Yeah, the sivatau, and I think local, like, I know us Samoans, we do have a strong belief in God and, you know, what he does for our culture and all that stuff. So having that incorporated in our camp, so we have, like, local, which means, like, prayer every day, I think it's really amazing that they've incorporated that within our camp.
You're also from Western Sydney, and, you know, I know how the community, you know, gets around one another, and every time I see, you know, FTA do their clinics, I feel like you're always, you know, providing your skills and yourself to the community events. Is that something that you're passionate about?
100%. Like, honestly, knowing the like Tiana and Chris who take charge of FTA, they keep us involved, and because, you know, there's a lot of people in Western Sydney who are pretty much like us and have the same opportunities and all that stuff. I just love being around the kids, and they just remind me of myself.
Was Tiana a big reason for going to the Tigers?
Not really, but I feel like that's the reason why she had come over to the Tigers, was because of majority of us girls from Western Sydney. Obviously Penrith don't have a team, and the closest to is either Power or Tigers. But yeah, she's just played a massive part within our Tigers team as well.
And she's the assistant coach at the Tigers, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
We've tried to get her on, but she doesn't want to.
She's too shy.
Too shy, she reckons.
No, she's honestly she works behind the curtain. She does all the big things behind, but she never takes the praise, and I always adore her for it.
All I know is that if we just keep knocking on the door like we did from September the 15th, 2023...
Is that when we started?
That was when I messaged Christian.
Oh, that's right. Yes. We set that up.
I'm so sorry. I'm so bad.
Well, you're not the only one. We had Tegan Dimmick on as well. And that was the first thing I said. What were you doing on the 12th of July around midday? She goes, oh, I know where this is going. I said, that's okay. I'm used to rejection.
I do understand it does get, it does feel nervous. But
so we had to fly to Fiji for this to happen. So
we come all the way to Suva, Fiji. Just to get you, so
it's a holiday for you guys. What are you on about?
No, we're working.
Can you not see the sweat, the blood, the tears? This is working hard.
We waited all day for you to be here, drinking four coffees and then laughing. Wow. But anyway, tough life.
You're also here with the PNG men's team. You play Prime Minister's 13, the PNG women's team, the PNG Orchids. What was that experience like when you versed them, the PNG Orchids?
It was really good. We played in PNG and it was very humbling for us because just the environment and all that stuff where the kids don't have the opportunity that we do, especially the women's. Well, we noticed that, you know, the men don't really get around the women's as much in PNG. But just seeing them play all their heart out on that field, and the talent's not that far from them. Like, if they just keep building on that, they're just going to be just as good.
I bet you probably won't want to be saying the same thing if you meet them in the promotion relegation game in a few weeks' time.
When you look at the impact Samoa have had and Tonga, well, actually all the females have had on the game and the growth of it, do you feel that ripple effect, you know, from your own younger family members, like your female family members wanting to aspire to do what you're doing, and then even from the older generation understanding that this is a pathway now?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I have a niece who's half Pakistani, half Samoan, and she's like, oh yeah, I want to play for Samoa. And just being proud, like, you know, when they see us proud of our culture, they're just gonna, it's gonna be a flow-on effect for them. They're like, oh, you know what, like, I love my Samoan side and I'll be happy to play for Samoa over Australia, New Zealand. Just waiting on a couple of the girls to hop on over, but yeah.
Coming into camp, I've looked around at your staff and you've got some great Samoan staff members like Frank Pritchard, Carl Stanley, but also Niall Guthrie-Williams. Have you been able to learn much from these, you know, senior rugby league players that are also Samoan?
Yeah, just having Frankie and Rob, one of the Dolphins coaching staff, just guide us through the middle and teach us how to run a line and how to hit people. But also like Niall and her being calm in attack and in defense and just how they carry themselves throughout the camp. I think a lot of us girls have kind of learnt to be like them in a way, but make it in our own way, of course.
Coming up in a big game. The Tonga game, how are you preparing for that one? Sorry, I wore my red singlet here.
Yeah, we're on colours.
Sorry,
mate.
You know, I was just got to support my people. But how do you prepare for that game?
Oh, it's hard. Like, I don't know if I should just prepare how I normally prepare, or, you know, if I should take in consideration that it's going to be more of the emotional side for me. But yeah, I'm just going to, you know, stay calm. When the emotions come, just trying to use it to my advantage. But just stay passionate on that field and remember why I'm playing.
Yeah, I remember the times I did get to represent the Cook Islands and, you know, having those thoughts of representing my family, my nation, and then all of a sudden all this emotion comes. And then you go and do the haka where all of a sudden you have to look angry.
Yeah, I know.
And then after the haka, you have to get prepared for a game, so by the time the huck is finished, I'm like gas, and then you have to sort of just zone back in, lock into the game, and it's hard to go through that emotional roller coaster where you're sad, you're full of pride and passion, then you're angry, and then all of a sudden you have to get ready for kickoff. How do you think you're going to handle all that?
Oh, yeah, well, probably pretty much the same. Like, we're going to try and maybe do the haka first, maybe, or ask Yvatel first, just so that we can have the girls do their hymns and we calm down and get ready. But, I guess I'll wait till
Have you sussed out who you want to stare at? Like, you know, where you lock eyes, is it Tash Panatani, the teammate? Because that's what she said about you. No, I'm joking. But do you look at someone in the eyes, or do you just look past the shoulders and just go, I'm not going to make eye contact?
No, yeah. So it's so funny because we actually have been practicing our formation of our civitelle. In my head, I'm just like, I'm going to break this civitelle and I'm going to go eye someone out.
Yes, you're going to march it forward.
Yeah, march it forward. I just see where my emotions take me. But it's definitely leading that way. No one in particular. Just get the job done, pretty much. Yeah, love hopefully.
It. Also with your partner, Ativalu, that come through to camp. I noticed he brought his teammate.
Brought his other wallet.
Oh my gosh.
Have they come into camp and spent some time with the girls?
Well, no. I know my partner, he plays a massive role in my Samoan and learning my fast Samoan because he's pretty well off on his own. Yeah, I try and keep them away from my camp because they're annoying as heck, especially Sua. But yeah, I know they're both, like Sua came over when he was 14, so they would actually kind of help in a way with the fast Samoan stuff, but I think we're sweet.
I actually seen one of the girls when Saul was walking through run and ask him for a photo, and he's like, yeah, sweet. So, is he single?
Not after the Fiji trip. Check if you're family first. No, I think we're related.
Yeah, he is single at the moment, but he definitely needs to fix on stuff. So, my partner's just being that big brother for him and a little bit discipline on his end, so... Yeah.
Oh, man, he seems like a character. One of the characters in your team as well is Mona Lisa. We had her on the show and she was talking about some of her stories when she was coming through about using a saucepan as a discus, you know, to practice discus throwing. I don't know why she used toothpaste on her hand to help it stick. She wore spikes for footy boots when she was playing against their brothers. Like, what is she actually like in camp?
Oh, well, she's actually my roomie, which is
a
good thing. She is such a character. I love her character, but I love her because she's just her and she's really unique, the way she carries herself and all that stuff. But, like, deep down, she's a big baby. So we've already had our D&Ms, as you do with every roomie, hopefully. But I just, yeah, she's just amazing.
Last question from me. A message to any young Samoan girl, whether she's in Samoa, whether she's in Western Sydney or, you know, anywhere in the world, that wants to be in your shoes, follow the same journey and one day represent the Fitch of Samoa, what is one message you'd share to that girl?
Just keep working hard and honestly, staying in touch with your Fa Samoa is probably one of the most beneficial things for yourself. Just getting to know, you know, the truth behind Samoa is beautiful and, you know, it's just such a eye-opener for yourself and where you come from, and it can most definitely lead, help you find your path.
Yeah, nice.
Like Moana. Sorry, I was just thinking of Moana. No. I was like, yeah, oh, nice. No.
Oh, you mean in the movie Moana?
Yeah, Moana. Yeah,
that's my wife. That's
Moana 2's coming out. Oh, do you know what the chicken's name is, actually, on Moana?
Hey.
Yeah.
See, I got that right. I told you,
bro. We do need your knowledge.
Well, one last question for me. I'm just going to steal my mate's question here. He loves to ask, and I love the answers that everyone gives. When you're either singing the anthem or walking out and you've got those final thoughts in your head, who are you thinking about before you actually kick the ball off and get into game mode?
Oh, most definitely my dad. Like, he's just been my rock. My mum as well. But my dad, he's just always been there encouraging me. Like, even within the last days of him being sick, he's just always encouraging me and staying strong for me. So, yeah, I'll do him one favour and just run hard and tackle hard or else I'm unfit.
Well, Christian, it's been an absolute honour to have you here on Nesian Footy. I know everyone's proud of you, the area's proud of you, your mum's proud of you, and your father definitely is proud of you. And, it's an honour to have you here, so thank you.
All right, thank you.
Much love and respect.
It's Nesian Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, it was cool to hear from Christian Pure. That interview was done before her first match for the Fetu Samoa, and they have just beaten the Fiji Pulikula to play in their promotion relegation game this week. So I bet she is very, very excited, and I bet she'll have a lot of family there as well. So all the best to the Fetu Samoa this weekend. Let's head to Nesian Knowledge.
Nisian knowledge.
What's the score, Sammy?
Talk to me, T. You clawed a couple back last week.
Yes, you so did, didn't you? It is 20.5 to you. That 0.5 was from our good friend Will Hopple out there.
And well, I'm, well earned, though.
And I'm
well
on
earned.
18.5. And so this is the part after, oh, sorry, on every Monday we finish the show with Nisian knowledge.
How many more do we have?
Oh, we've got a few more, about four or five-ish.
Four or five, okay, before the tattoo comes. Yeah. Wow.
And well, one person will ask the other three questions. And then the loser at the end of the season has to get the Nisian footy tattoo on their bum. So I am up, Sammy.
Yes, T, here we go.
We've had the Pacific Championships over the weekend. And, you know, these answers can be quite broad. If you can, you know, kind of get thereabouts, I'll give it to you. So.
That's very generous of you. You don't usually do that. So yeah. Thank you.
Well, first question.
It's probably a really hard one.
The Cook Island women's team is the Cook Island Moana.
Yep.
Well, what does the Cook Islands men's team name mean? The Cook Island Atu. What does the word Atu mean?
The word Atu. If Moana means like the deep blue ocean, that's what it is in Tongan, like the deep, deep blue ocean, not just the ocean itself. I reckon the Atu, I've got absolutely no idea.
It's broad. So it's broad. Even if you take a guess.
Atu, I think it's someone that's it's a god.
God.
King.
King.
Mythical person. Looks after the ocean.
You're like almost. You're actually very close. I would have actually gave it. So on ChatGPT, the term Atu refers to spirits, ghosts, supernatural beings, or you could have said you know, protectors.
Is that a point then?
No. Cause why? You said God, king.
No, you said, well, it's a broad answer you're looking for, and that's broad. Like,
that's the king.
And why are you looking up at ChatGPT for your own cultural fact? Like, that's a bit disappointing.
Because it goes into a bit more depth.
But I'd be like, instead of these saying ChatGPT, I'd be like, you know, this is the stories from when I was a young boy.
Do you want me to go to the same source where you just go on NRL stats guy?
That's where you go to.
I'm no, mate. That's you, where go you go all the time. That's why I stopped going there, because that's how you were getting all the answers.
Surely that's a point.
No, it's not a point. Fetu Samoa.
Yes. What's Fetu mean?
What does Fetu mean?
Fetu means.
See, it's also an educational.
It is very educational.
Moment like, for our listeners like as well. Because everyone's like, oh, Fetu Samoa, Cook Island Atu. What are these names? What the PAC Champs finals coming up?
Fetu is a flower.
Ooh, Fetu is the star. It can mean morning star, shining figure in the Samoan culture.
Okay. So now, no point?
No point. Last one.
Flower, star, same thing.
The Fijian women's team, Bulikula.
Well done.
Well done.
I like these. To be honest. No, these are actually very good questions. It's something that I'm surprised we haven't dived into these names before.
I went into Kumu and I was like, I'm surprised you haven't done your research, because I was like, oh, he might not get this one. But
mate, you're dreaming if I'm doing any research when it comes to tests.
You said you were playing chess last week.
Bulikula. I can't wait for my turn next week. This is going to be great for next week, so I can't wait for that.
Bulikula.
The Bulikula.
Let's go,
Bulikula. the Bulikula is actually a flower.
No, it translates to golden.
Flower.
You know, so like symbolizes strength, pride, value to the nation. Close. But yeah, 0 points.
I can't wait for it. Yeah, burns. It does birds. Burn.
Do you remember what kumu means?
No.
It's a bird. I should remember.
Oh, it is the bird. Yeah.
Because I had that. I was like, oh, what is kumu?
All right. We'll save that for next week. But that's our time up for another Nisian Footy Monday. Remember, you can listen back to all of our chats. Just search for Nisian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.